One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile AF, the podcast. This is our 350th episode. Woohoo! Featuring Camille Guadi. This episode is brought to you by Fertile. Hey friends, it's Allie. If you're in the middle of your what else can we try family building era, listen up. Fertile is the first and only sterile, FDA cleared at-home insemination kit designed for intracervical insemination, so sperm is placed right at the cervical opening. It's engineered to mimic the precision of an IUI, just 1 inch lower, but without washed sperm, meds, or appointments. Fertile is also triple patented, made in the US with IVF grade materials, and clinically validated. The kit comes with 3 sterile attempts, so you can cover your 3 most fertile days each cycle. It's as easy to use as a tampon, it ships discreetly, and it's HSA, FSA eligible. So who is Fertile for? Folks with unexplained infertility, LGBTQIA plus families, solo parents by choice, or anyone delaying IUI or IVF because of cost or burnout. If you want an option that's private, empowering, and science-backed, this is your sign. Okay, so here's what to do. Go to Fertile.com today and use code INFERTILEAF for $10 off. That's Fertile, pronounced fertile, but spelled with a PhD out of spite. They told Dr. Jen she wouldn't be a mother, and she used her PhD to prove them wrong. Again, that's PHERDAL.com and use code INFERTILEAF. Thanks, Fertile. This episode is brought to you by Theralogix. If you've ever wondered what keeps your egg cells healthy and energized, here's a little science bomb for you. NAD+. It's a coenzyme in every single cell of your body, and your eggs need a lot of energy to mature properly. But here's the thing. NAD+ levels decline as we age, which can impact egg quality. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about OVA NAD+ by Theralogix. The first NAD Plus booster made specifically for ovarian health and egg quality. It combines nicotinamide riboside, a form of vitamin B your body can actually convert into NAD Plus, with pterostilbene, an antioxidant from blueberries and grapes. Together, they support your egg cells' energy production, protect DNA, and help keep your reproductive health strong as the years go by. And like all Theralogix products, OVA NAD Plus is independently tested, content certified, and has no hidden doses or proprietary blends. What's on the label is exactly what's in the bottle. Now here's the best part. You can save 15% right now at Theralogix.com with code INFERTILEAF. Again, that's INFERTILEAF for 15% off at Theralogix.com, and that's spelled TheralogiX.com. Thanks, Theralogix. This episode is sponsored by Extend Fertility. Fertility shouldn't be dictated by a timeline. Extend Fertility offers cutting-edge egg and embryo freezing, infertility care, and IVF, all designed to put you in control. Their approach? Research-driven, transparent, and personalized. With a world-class lab, exceptional verified success rates backed by nearly a decade of egg freezing results, and pricing lower than the national average, Extend Fertility is making reproductive care more accessible and effective than ever. Whether you're preserving fertility for the future or actively trying to conceive, they're here with expert support every step of the way. Learn more at extendfertility.com. Again, that's extendfertility.com. Thanks, Extend. All right, my friends, I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is our 350th episode. When I launched this podcast back in 2019, I had no idea how far it would go, how many stories we'd share, and how many incredible people I would meet along the way. So to every single listener, guest, brand partner, and supporter who's been part of this community from day one, or who just found us recently, thank you. You've shared your stories, your hearts, your heartbreaks, and your hope. And it's truly been the honor of my life to hold space for all of it. And what better way, guys, to mark this milestone than with an amazing guest who embodies everything this show stands for. It's Camille Guadi. You guys probably know her from Prison Break, Daytime Divas, The Rookie, and so much more. But today, she's not here only as an actress. Camille is here as a fierce infertility advocate, a mom, and someone who knows firsthand what it means to keep going even when the journey feels impossible. On this episode, Camille opens up about her own long road to motherhood, the endless IVF rounds, the emotional toll, and how she finally welcomed her beautiful son thanks to donor eggs. She's also spilling the tea on what it was really like to be pregnant in Hollywood as an actress, and let's just say it wasn't all glam and glow. This one is raw, and it's real, and it's full of heart and some laughs, just like Camille. So we're going to get into it in a second, but before we do, I also want to send a heartfelt thank you to everybody who has been a part of Fertility Rally, which is the membership community I launched with Blair Nelson in 2020. We have had the honor and the privilege of helping and supporting almost 5,000 people over the last 6 years, and we are still going strong, rallying like a mofo. I love our rally members, and we are always welcoming new ones. So if you are interested in the rally, shoot me a DM, shoot me a note. You are more than welcome no matter what you're going through. I also want to thank Ryan Leba, who's my editor and engineer, and he has worked on every single episode of In for Laughs since launch in March of 2019. He is a magician. He is a genius. He is the nicest guy, and I've loved every single minute of working with him. Could not have done any of this without him. So thank you, Ryan. You are honestly the best. And one more thing, I want to thank all of my supporters of the Work of Art book series. So Work of Art is the book about my family. Beautiful Bird is the second book about my friend Helen's family and my godson Jack. And then the third book, which is called You Are a Work of Art, and it's a board book, is coming very, very soon. So if you're interested in any of those books, they make great gifts. They make great additions to any library for families all over the place going through all the things. You can find those on my website at infertileafgroup.com. The response has been great. And again, I can't thank you guys enough. So all of that said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you all. I feel so lucky to get to do this. And without further ado, this is Camille on Infertile AF. Camille, it is so good to see you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me how life is going in Nashville. And again, we can cut that out if you don't want to say where you're living.
No, no, I'm fine. I'm an open book with that. I just don't tell you my street address, you know.
That's fine.
It's been really great. I think the difference, you know, I didn't want to leave LA, but the difference being here is it's just so family oriented. And my son, who is now 5.
I can't believe that.
I mean, like, where did the time go?
It's seriously
crazy. But, you know, he looks at our yard and he's like, "Mom, it's Jurassic Park." I'm like, I know.
That's so cool to be able to give him that kind of a childhood.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So is he starting kindergarten?
He just started kindergarten.
How's it going?
We're on our first full week of kindergarten.
Okay. That's a big milestone.
It's huge. It's like, it's a roller coaster of emotions. It's so funny because my husband gets really upset when he's having a hard time, like going into school or, you know, when he's having a hard time. My husband has a hard time.
Yeah.
I have not a hard time, but I start crying when he's empowered on his own, you know, like today.
Because he doesn't need you.
Well, it's also just like a proud mama moment.
Oh, yeah. Happy tears.
That makes me cry, you know, or my husband's just like, okay, cool. we got on and I'm like, oh, does that not, like, he just walked through those doors and didn't even turn around, and look at him go through the hall with all the big kids, and he did it.
Yes. Oh, that is emotional.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I had to do that. I sent my son into the store earlier today and I was like, there's no parking spot. You have to go in and get your own drink. And here's my credit card. And he was like, wait, what? I've never done this before. He's 9 though. I was like, you just go up, give him the credit card, make sure you take the credit card back and come out. And he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I was like, this is cool. This is good. You need to know how to do this. And yeah. He went in, he came out all proud. And I was like,
I love that.
So dumb.
But it's those little moments that make them, like, that give them that, like, self-confidence, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Camille, let's backtrack a whole bunch before we get more into your son. I would love to talk about, even before you started to try, what did you know about, like, your fertility, your body? What was your sex education like growing up?
Oh, yeah. This is so interesting, because I think part of my advocacy work is not, like, to give women knowledge. And I tiptoe yes. around sometimes, because women are like, you know, especially like groups of women who think, you know, we think we know it all. And mm-hmm. but I didn't know much. I know this is going to sound really cliche and awful to say, but I'm Latin, so I could say that about myself. But I thought, hey, I'm Latin. I can have babies. They pop out babies, like, you know, left, right, and center. I'm going to be fine. I didn't think that this was ever going to be an issue. It was not going to be my story. It's somebody else's story. I had no gynecologist or anyone. And I was very, you know, regular. I would go in to see my doctor and, you know, once a year, checkups. And I remember there was one woman who said, you know, maybe you can start, you know, if you're going to start thinking about it. I was like, no, not yet. Not going to start. Mm-hmm. So she put a little tiny seed in me, but not to the point of, let's check your levels. Let's see mm-hmm. where you're at. You know, where is that planning going? Are you planning in like 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, anything? No, wasn't told any. So I had zero zip zilch information until I actually started trying and was like,
okay, so yeah, let's fast forward to that point. I read somewhere that you were in your 30s when you started trying. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me about that. What happened when you did start to try?
Well, I mean, I'm so psychosomatic, like I'm an actor, right? So the first time we, you know, did it the way we were supposed to do it, I was like, I'm pregnant. I'm so pregnant.
Nailed it.
My boobs were big, which I know now doesn't really happen at that stage right away, but I was like, yeah, I mean, look at these things that are like huge. I was late. So I could have been, you know, mm-hmm. but I was never late. I was always regular. So I was 10 days late. And then, you know, the big fat pee comes. So I was. Mm-hmm.
Were you disappointed?
Yeah, I think it wasn't so much disappointment at the first go around. It was more, oh, okay, that's weird. I really thought I was pregnant. Okay, no worries. This will happen again. Mm-hmm. We have 11 more times to make this work.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and it was after, like, I think a full, I want to say almost a full year of like trying. And I also blame one of my husband's friends had to come and stay with us. And I was like, you took away like many opportunities for me to try to have a baby.
Because you had a house guest.
You were in our house. Yeah. We lived in like yeah. a smaller, you know, kind of house.
Yeah. That definitely could have had something to do with it. Right. Yeah. So when was the point when you went to, you know, started to think something might be wrong and then you went to a fertility clinic?
You know, it wasn't even me. It was okay. My husband went, he has a friend who was a urologist and, you know, he was talking to him and he was the one who suggested that we go see a fertility doctor. Mm-hmm. So when my husband told me, I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Mm-hmm. He goes, well, why not? Let's just go and let's see what they say. And I was like, okay, fine. So that's when we went and we took blood work and I didn't still at this point, I am super confident that this is not my thing still.
Right.
So I'm going in with like, here we are, just let us know where we're at. But this is not something that we're going to need right now.
Mm-hmm. Then, I think that's really common that people are like, this isn't my story. That happens yeah. to other people, including myself. Like I was like, I never in a million years would have guessed. Yeah. Right.
That's the thing that I try to also tell people. It's like, look, you could be that person who's going to get pregnant right away. And And congratulations and also sorry at the same, you know, if you're not ready for that, I didn't want that. And I'm like telling you all this information, which it did happen to one of my friends.
Yeah.
But you could also be the person that is my story or your story, or, you know, that takes a really long road to get there. So why not just get all the information that you need and then make mm-hmm. a decision rather than just, you know, putting it on the back burner until later.
Right. So you went in and talked to a doctor. And what did they tell you? Do you remember?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's when I found out my AMH was a 0.54. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what does that mean? And I look younger than my age. And so he was like, well, your outsides are not matching your insides. And I was like, mm-hmm. he's like, yes, your ovaries, you're in this little pocket of, you know, that of late 40s, early 50s. And I was like, what?
That's wild.
Hold on. What does this mean? But he goes, well, I'm like, are you telling me that I can't get pregnant? And this is where it all started to be like everything started to slow down. He's like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you can't get pregnant. I'm saying that you need to do this now if you want mm-hmm. to get pregnant. And yeah, that's changed the trajectory of the rest
right.
of my life.
And was you need to do this, meaning you need to do IVF?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you guys, after you had that initial meeting with the doctor, what was the conversation like between you and your husband? Were you just like, holy shit, like what just happened? Because I feel like that's another common response is, you know, people just get the shock of their lives sometimes.
You know what? So I don't actually remember the conversations between him and I. The one conversation I remember is him and I speaking to my parents to try to get them to pay for our first IVF because it wasn't covered under insurance. And we were also in escrow on a house. Mm-hmm. And our first house that we never ended up getting because my money guy was like, oh, you're doing IVF? He's like, why don't you just do IVF and see where that goes first? And I was
oh,
like,
wow.
Because he ended up adopting two kids. So he came from that background of struggling with fertility and having to pay a lot of money and knowing that I wasn't covered through insurance.
Wow. Like,
why don't you just consider doing this first? What's more important?
Yeah.
And I said, well, having a family, obviously. And he said, and we pulled out of our house. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
oh my God,
I've been able to do what we did.
Yeah. Wow. I know the financial burden is just, again, like it's none of mine was covered by insurance either. And so many people
really?
Listening, I'm sure not one penny of it. And I had to borrow from my in-laws and my parents at the time to both kick in for it. So this started the road, you know, into IVF and all that. Did you have any friends who you could turn to at the time and, you know, ask, what is this going to look like? What did you do? Anybody to give you advice? Or were you kind of rolling solo at that point?
Rolling solo.
Okay. That's hard. So how did you navigate it?
I am such a scaredy cat like when it comes to shots and all of that. Well, there's so many different variables of IVF, right? So for me, I was that bright-eyed bushy tail. I thought the first round was going to work, you know? So I went in with complete optimism and complete faith and complete hope every single time. I would not start a round until I was ready, like ready. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Right.
And every time I believed that this was going to be the one. So there's that factor of it, right? And then the other factor is the shots, the emotional, the, you know, financial and all of that. For me, the first shot took me about a half hour to do.
Yeah.
And we have the whole half hour videotaped.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because my husband was like hell-bent on giving it to me. And I just was like, I couldn't do it. So like, I'm going to give you a little segue. My son had to do four shots before kindergarten. And I showed him a clip of the video because he kept on going, wait, I'm not ready. Wait, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And I said, can I show you something?
Oh my God.
I'm like, mommy, when I had my first shot to try to have you.
And that's
so
amazing.
He watched it. And he goes, mommy, you're doing the same thing as I am. I said, I know. Every time daddy would go to give me the shot, I said, wait, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And so when the lady came in to do the shots, I said, all right, do you trust me? He goes, I trust you. I said, okay, just don't look at the needle. I'm going to tell you a story. And then you're going to fill in the blanks with the story. And then that's it. And he did not cry.
Like, oh my God. That's some good momming right there.
Yeah.
So have you always been open with him about how badly you wanted him and kind of some of the struggles? Like, have you talked to him about, you know, okay, tell me a little bit more about that.
He's a story buff. Like, he loves stories. He loves learning about things. So I knew earlier on that when he was, you know, in my belly, that I'm definitely going to tell him and share this with him. I remember when People Magazine wanted to announce my pregnancy. I think I was around 6 months pregnant at the time. And that's when I had spoken to my husband and I said, hey, okay, so we have an opportunity here to tell the truth. And he goes, about what?
Right.
About how we got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I don't want to tell. And it's fine that he felt this way. He's like, I don't want to tell anybody. And then he said, I don't want our baby to know. And mm-hmm. that was like a huge blow to me because I was like, well, what do you mean you don't want our baby to know? Because I don't come from a family of secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
And in his family, there's a lot of like, you know, tiptoeing around, not a lot of conveying emotions or how you're feeling. They're British, you know, so it's like a whole different, you know, they get on with it in a different way.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, can I just say that by not talking about this or by not telling our son how he was born, that is, you're saying that I was broken, that there was something wrong with me, that there's something wrong with the way that we conceived him, that this is going to put there's a big stigma on it and there's a problem. And this isn't a problem to me. I was like, this is the biggest celebration. We chose to do donor conception.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to carry my baby. I was able to breastfeed. I was able to experience motherhood in a way that I never had or never would have been able to. I said, that's cause for celebration.
He
needs to know how he got here.
Yeah.
And there's no sense in putting in all of these horrible things that we have been taught and passing that along to him. We need to show him that he's celebrated, that our family building is a celebration, not a problem or an issue or a secret.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah, that's exactly why. I don't know if you know this, but I wrote a children's book about my son's IVF story and called Work of Art. And it's, you know, him finding out that he was created in a lab. So I will send you a copy of it after this call, if that's okay. But it's the same thing. It's a celebration. It's a normalization. Families can be created in so many different ways. My daughter, who's older, was not an ART baby, and my son is. So, you know, saying that I wanted you guys just as badly, you know, there's no comparison. And there's so many different ways that, you know, as long as there's love and, you know, desire and a little bit of science, like we could, you know, he was here. So
how great is that? I mean, that is something to celebrate. That is
absolutely. Yeah.
Why is it that in, you know, same sex relationships that it's not a secret. It's because they have to tell.
Right.
This is how you were created. Otherwise you wouldn't have been able to be here.
Right.
And so I looked at that and I said, well, wow, they're in celebration. Then why can't we?
Totally. Right. I could not agree with you more. Yes. So can we talk a little bit more about the IVF journey? Yeah. So did you do how many rounds? I know there was at least five. Was there six? Okay.
It was a mix.
You went through a lot.
So I did five full rounds. The sixth round was canceled at the last minute. Along the way, because I was working, I was on a show playing a pregnant woman.
Mm.
I was on The Good Doctor as well, playing a pregnant woman. When my egg donor was...
When she was in her retrieval cycle?
Yes.
Or so trigger, okay.
But this other time that I was actually on the series playing a woman, I was trying to get pregnant. So...
How does that mess with your head?
Oh my gosh.
That must have been hard.
Oh, awful. It was absolutely awful. And my co-star was also pregnant. And we had male producers, and this was prior to the Me Too movement and Time's Up. So you have to get baseline tests. And there were times when you have to go to the doctors at a very specific time to get things done. And I don't know how I managed, but I did. Like, I just told lie after lie after lie because they didn't know that I was trying to get pregnant.
Okay. So you kind of had to sneak it, right? Like, and just
1,000%
disappear. And okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that must have added so much more stress to the whole situation, which is already so stressful.
Insane. Like,
I
remember my very first day going out on set. Of course, some people knew behind the scenes. So, and I have the video. I think I posted it somewhere, but I'm in my trailer. They're knocking on the trailer door, asking me, you know, they're like, they need you on set.
Right.
2 minutes, because I'm waiting to see if I'm pregnant or not. I had just taken a pregnancy test and it came out negative. And these are the times when now I started to get really disappointed. And I'm like, okay, pull up your bootstraps. Get out there, and I'm getting out there, and everyone's doing the hair, like, you know, last touch-ups, and they're doing makeup, and I'm just trying not to speak. I remember wardrobe was like, are you okay? And I'm like, It's like, are you okay? And I'm like, And I'm like, I'm not pregnant. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, And then here I am, like, doing this thing in there, talking about how I'm pregnant. And it, like, as this is like a sick joke. Just
one of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit MidAmerica shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Sick joke. Like, my character has to take a pregnancy test and she's pregnant.
Oh my God. You had to go through that.
Oh my
God. You are such a badass for going through that. And like, but it also goes to show, like, it's like that whole, the show must go on thing. Like, you have to, this is your job, right? Oh my God. I can't believe that.
Literally. I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was a lot to it, but to answer your question, yeah. Along with the 5 cycles, I was constantly medicated. So they were giving me progesterone, and my husband would fly out. And so we would do like natural medicated, you know, Clomid and all that. So I was constantly doing something. There was never a time that I wasn't. Yeah. But not a single one worked.
And when did donor eggs come into the picture? Like, when did you guys start talking about that was, you know, a pivot that you were going to do?
Well, my amazing Dr. Wong, who I love dearly, would always mention it every single time. And I was like, Andy, like, how many times have I told you this? Like, we're not talking about this. Like,
yeah.
Hello, it's not happening. I'm never going to get to a place where I'm going to want another woman's body parts in my body. Like, no, it's not happening. I was so adverse to hearing anything about it, what I'm going to do with it. And then it was when that 6th round was canceled, I remember looking online, and I went down the rabbit hole of fostering. And so I brought it up to my husband. I said, you know, there are so many beautiful children who need homes, and who need a loving family, and maybe we should consider adoption. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, why not a donor? I said, well, because in all fairness, like, I mean, my genes are better than yours. So why would you? I'm okay saying this now, they've heard it.
I love it.
I was also very angry, and I was also, and I say this with such transparency because I'm so happy that we eventually made the choice. Mm-hmm. But I did not want, it was almost like a FOMO. Like if I couldn't do it, he's not going to do it. I was like, almost in a way, like I wanted to punish, or mm-hmm. I wanted him to feel how I was feeling.
Yeah.
Way. And I've said this before, but he said to me, he was like, you do know that, like, that this is not happening to you. This is happening to us. Mm. He said, I didn't marry you thinking that, oh, I'm gonna, you know, want to have a baby somewhere else, or have a baby this way, or have a baby that way. He's like, I dreamed of having a baby with you.
Right.
And you know, the way that, you know, we're supposed to, or the way that babies are.
Right. Air quotes.
And I think that really softened my heart when he said that. And it made me realize, like, that I was angry, and I was angry at him for maybe not being ready sooner. I was angry at life. I was fearful that using a donor would breed jealousy for me, that I would be jealous of this woman, that he would want this woman more than me, that because she's younger and can produce viable eggs and I couldn't. And it was a big leap. Mm-hmm. But then I said, okay, well, let's just start looking and see what is that going to look like.
Right. Were you angry at your body as well? Because I've heard that a lot over, you know, these podcast episodes. And I remember feeling like I was kind of broken too, and mad at my own body. It wasn't doing what I wanted it to do.
I don't know if I was mad at my own body. I was mad at myself. I was really mad at myself.
In what way?
So many ways. I was mad that I waited so long. I was mad that I chose a career that wasn't accepting of women being pregnant. Mm. And I'll segue into stories later if you want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
I was mad even at my, like, I went through, I was like, a, I was a little bit of a crazy person. I was even contemplating, like, why did I choose my husband who was younger than me? Like, what an idiot. Like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
And all of these things and crazy thoughts that came up. And I was mad at doctors for not telling me. I was, you know, mad at my parents for not telling me. Why didn't nobody tell me? Why didn't anybody say, hey, get on the horse, because this may not happen? Mm-hmm. You know?
Nobody
told me.
Yeah. Agreed.
Claims she did, but I was like, no, you did not.
No, you didn't. Do you think that's part of the reason now you're such a fierce advocate and you're wanting to spread this education? And because I also want to say, I said this before we started recording, but I was interviewing Rebecca Flick, our mutual friend from Resolve, powerhouse over there. And she name checked you in our podcast episode and said, Camille is one of the, you know, handful of people who is in the public eye who really walks the walk and talks the talk and is such a fierce advocate and understands, you know, the ins and outs of privilege and not privilege and, you know, all that stuff. And she just couldn't speak more highly of you and the work that you're doing. So I thought that was really, really cool and important.
Yeah, she's amazing. And the work that she's doing, that is, you're literally giving your life to, like, that's what your job is, you know?
Right. Right. But the anger sometimes I feel like fuels that, right? Like, there's you don't so want it to happen to people coming after us the way that it happened to all of us. Like, my God, we need to tell these women.
Because for me, it was like, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you have to do anything with it, but just know. Just have the knowledge.
Yeah.
And have this information and then take with it what you will.
Right.
If this is something that you want to entertain, or you think that later on in life that you might consider wanting a family, you know, or you're single and you're thinking, I do want a family, but I don't know what to do, then yes, there are so many things that you can do to ensure that you can have a family the way that you want it. If you're not worried about it and you want to, you know, you want to have choice to do it anyway, then you can later. But it's just knowing this information. So yeah, that's one of the reasons. But the second one is also, I don't want people, I want for my son to have just a better future. I want to also show other people. I want to erase that stigma that exists. The thoughts that I had, the fears that I had, I would love people to just shift their lens a bit and see it differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so well said. Yeah. Beautifully said. I could not agree with you more. So now you're going down the donor path. What happened next?
We actually started to have, there's like a little bit of levity, right? Maybe it's because you can drink wine now. I don't know. But it's the truth. But we started to have a little bit of fun. Like we would, I remember specifically, we went out for sushi this one time and there was this really cute waitress that had similar features to me. And he was like, I mean, she's kind of cute. And I was like, I know. I'm like, you know, you think she would want to sell her eggs? Like, so weird and so creepy and disgusting that we would like want to like creep on this woman and be like, we don't want a threesome. We just want to give you money. No, we're not. You're not a prostitute. We just want your eggs.
Right. Exactly.
Time I was coaching actors and I was like, Sai, there's a business here. Like I can talk to all of these young actresses and we can like start selling their eggs. And then there are all these people that want to have babies and they'll be able to have babies from all these amazing, beautiful women that are like on all different ends of the spectrum. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was very hard for me to find a woman that was of Latin descent, Puerto Rican, Cuban, forget it. Couldn't mm-hmm. find. So mm-hmm. all of a sudden I'm in these classes with like everything.
Right.
All different walks of life. And I'm like, this is it. This is my donor bank. Hey guys.
Exactly. You're like, if you don't do well in that audition, let me give you another.
Take my card.
Right. Exactly. Oh my gosh. So how did you eventually find somebody?
Well, it was a long, hard road because, you know, you fall in love with women who aren't available. I mean, there was one woman, you do become a little bit of a crazy person, but there was one woman that was not on the list anymore. Like she wasn't doing it, but they still had her picture up. And she said she was a waitress in Ojai. And I was like, we're going to Ojai.
Mm-hmm.
Ojai, we are going to find her. And didn't find her.
Oh my God.
Thankfully.
I love this.
Because
you're going restaurant to restaurant.
That would have been really weird. Oh no, I really did. It's like next level stalking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we eventually went on a site, which I'm not going to say out loud because the woman is now in jail.
Oh God.
Yeah. For embezzling people's money. And I knew it. She tried to do it to us, but I tricked her.
Wait, what?
It's a whole thing, which is why I don't really talk about it very much.
Okay. Fair.
But yeah, she's in prison.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but I found our first donor. Our first donor didn't work, which was probably one of the hardest moments in trying to get pregnant. I think it was maybe harder than realizing that I wasn't going to get pregnant with my own eggs, because you've dealt with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You moved to donor and you all of a sudden are in this world where you think that, oh, well, now that I've chosen a donor who's younger and all of these qualities that will, you know, make a recipe to have a baby, it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Put all your eggs in that basket, so to speak.
Literally.
And you're kind of sold that promise that it's like 90-something% chance it's going to work.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And when that happened, but it didn't work for a different reason, because she took her trigger shot at the wrong time.
Oh,
she was young and That was one of my things I said, is she, does she know the responsibility that it takes to have these shots? And when they say 4:44 a.m., it's 4:44 a.m.
Right.
I said, yep. And so what happened was, I'm on The Good Doctor playing a 38-week pregnant woman giving birth. My husband flies to Mexico because our donor was in Mexico. And he's about to give his little deposit, and we're going to retrieve, I think it was 14 eggs, and I have a pregnant belly that they're strapping onto me, and they call me FaceTime, and I see my husband in the background, like hands in his face, and I said, what's happening? And they told me that she ovulated all 17 eggs.
Oh my God.
And it didn't work. And I was like, and my husband's in Mexico.
Right.
I'm like, and I'm in Vancouver. And I was like,
oh my God.
What do you mean it didn't work? It's like, it didn't work. And she took it at the wrong time and it didn't work. I was like,
oh.
So the worst part about this story was that I had to go out on set. And actually they were taking the belly off of me. I had to go on set, sit in the gurney. I had to hold the baby. And I will never forget, like, 14-day-old baby. And my friend, so that last show that I did where I was pregnant, my friend was on this show and she knew that I was, what I was going through. And I said, she ovulated all her eggs. I feel nothing right now. Mm. And this is supposed to be my emotional moment and I feel nothing. And she goes, go take a moment by yourself. I go by myself and they're like, okay, Camille, we need to strap you in. I said, okay, get on the gurney. I'm like dead inside.
Mm. I feel nothing. Mm-hmm.
And then I hear on the radio, like, okay, quiet on set, baby on set. And they put the baby in my arms. They're not rolling. And rolling, as that's code, guys, for action.
Thank you.
Camera
roll. Right.
And they put the baby in my arms, and it was a baby boy.
Oh, God.
And I'm like
waterworks. Yeah.
I think I cried, like, all the years. And all, like, I don't even know how many years it was at that point, 4 years of trying to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I think I let it all out in that one sitting.
And then
I was like, is she okay? Like, what's happening? Are you okay? And I was like dry heaving, crying. They take the baby out of my arms. And my friend was like, you know, just hugging me. And like, she just needs, like, just give her some time.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, now let's go and do this.
Oh my God.
The show must go on.
I was going to say, we need to all go watch. Did it make it into the episode? We need to all go rewatch that.
Yeah. I mean, that whole,
that's what, yeah.
Two episodes. It's a season, the mid-season finale.
Mm-hmm.
We're quarantined. And and I had a baby. And
oh my God. I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
It's just kind of, it was just so mind-blowing experiences of that I had to go through while I was trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Kalei Stewart, who's also an actress, who I'm sure you know, she was like, well, and I don't know what anybody believes in, depending on what you believe, you know, but I believe in God. And she was like, that was God giving you a preview because he was a boy. Because my next one worked.
Right, right.
You know,
oh, God giving you a preview.
You look at it, right? Do you want
right.
to look at it as like, what a torture, what a day that was, and how awful that was to experience that, or how amazing to be able to have that moment right before, because it was like a couple of months before then. That was November, and then I was pregnant in January.
Okay, so you found another donor and then did...
Immediately.
Obviously, she did her transfer shot, trigger shot correctly. Thank you.
But only gave us one embryo.
Okay. Okay.
So that
and then
one embryo. I was like, one? I've transferred 22 and not one of them has taken. I have.
Yes.
So my doctor was like, Camille, this is a golden egg. Don't you worry. This is a golden egg. Like, we will make this work. And it did.
Tell me about getting that call. Like, it worked, like, life-changing, right? Finally?
I didn't believe her. I have chills thinking about it. I didn't believe. I said, well, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, it's very early. I said, wait, so I am pregnant. She goes, you are very much pregnant. And it was, and I think I asked her a million times, are you sure? She said, I'm positive, but you're very early. I said, so this can mean like that it's not strong yet. And well, she goes, you're pregnant. It's okay. You can enjoy this moment.
It's hard though, right? After going through so much trauma and, you know, it's like you're holding your heart with like these kid gloves because you're really cautiously optimistic. You're so used to the bad news and the other shoe always dropping.
Yeah. I don't think I cried. I don't think I freaked out. I think I was I remember being just very like, don't want to say anything out loud just in case this is not real. And I remember when I told my husband, I recorded it as well. But when I told him, I was just like, he was freaking out and screaming, but I was like, hey, settle down. It's still early. So you have that like PTSD of like,
totally, you
know, that trauma of still doesn't feel real yet.
Exactly.
Until I started throwing up, you know, and like,
right. But then you're kind of happy, right? Because you're like, okay, it's a sign. It's a signal. Yeah. It's happening. Absolutely. Yes. So you know what's so cool? So you call your son Sonny, right?
Well, he was. That was supposed to be his nickname. Was
Sonny. Oh, okay. Do you not, though?
You know what? Our friends still call him Sonny.
Okay.
That's what he was. Like,
yeah.
So long. And now we call him, it's Morrison Mo. But
oh, that's cute. My son is Sonny. So yeah. in the book I'll send you, it's about a kid named Sonny. So
I love that.
I'll relate to it even more.
You will. That's amazing.
All right. So wait, before you said something about pregnancy stories in Hollywood, I want to hear if you don't mind. Spill some tea.
Yeah. So, well, the first one when I was trying to get pregnant, and the reason why it was very much a secret is because, you know, we have male producers and my character was pregnant, and in their eyes they're like, yeah, I think we're going to get rid of the pregnancy for season two because being pregnant just isn't like sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay. Didn't realize that that was, you know,
something. Oh my God.
Needed. So I'm like, cool. So I'm not going to tell you that I'm actively trying to get pregnant. And then when I actually was pregnant, I was 5 months pregnant. I booked, should I say the show? Because it's no longer on. Yeah, I'm going to say the show. Okay, Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
And it was this big arc. And it would take me all the way until 7 months pregnant, which was their season finale. And the creator of the show, you can Google if you want to find out who he is. They kept on coming back to me being like, no, I have the job at this point. And they were like, well, is she okay? Like running at 7 months pregnant in the heat, like, you know, really close, like south of the border. And I was like, I'm sure that'll be fine. And if it's not, can I get a stunt person?
Yeah.
I'm like, we'll get it for everything else. Like,
right.
Stunt double. And then they came again. So would she be okay doing like A, B, and C? And I was like, what is going on? And then finally, I had to sign this agreement, and they said that he really wants creative freedom to do whatever he wants. And if, you know, if I'm not okay with that, that they would offer me a hefty sum, like a sum of money to back out. And it wasn't hefty, let me tell you.
Oh my God.
It was nothing.
Yeah.
I got my lawyers in and I was like, I want to sue so bad. I was so upset.
Yes.
But it's like one of those things. Like I'm a blue collar actor. Like and that was, you know, Fox was the network and that 20th was the studio. And I had done so much with 20th. And wouldn't you believe that I have not worked for them since and I'm like, then I should have done. But you know, they're like, oh, we'll do something for you.
We'll take care of you.
Never.
So was it that they just didn't want to deal with a woman who was pregnant? Like it was just, it could have interfered with the, you know, the schedule, or like, it was just like, that's
he didn't want to story. Have to fight around a pregnant belly.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. Well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, hopefully things are a little bit better now. Oh, or well,
this was pre Time's Up. So like,
if
that were to have happened now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it would be, we would, yeah, that would just happen. It wouldn't happen.
Right.
But I mean, so many of those stories, which is why you see a lot of women who don't, that are in this business, that are older, that don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that waited later on and couldn't have kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or choose not to because career first.
And, exactly.
But it's different now. It's definitely different now.
Yeah.
There are more women on set. There are more women producers, showrunners, directors, writers. So it's changing.
Good. Well, before we wrap, can you tell us a little bit more about your advocacy? And, you know, if somebody's listening, are there some like action items or, you know, things that people can do to get out there and actually, you know, like we said, walk the walk and talk the talk like you do daily?
Yes. So Rebecca Flick, who works at Resolve. So Resolve is an organization that fights for women's, not even just women's right, third party planning in having a baby. They support that. They go the federal level, they go the state level to try to protect laws for IVF, you name it. They run the gamut. They've been doing this since the 70s, which is so crazy. And I was just on there actually the other day just to see who needed letters sent out to, you know, their senators, what state needs something.
Yes.
So go on that website. They have support groups and a lot of different platforms for you to dive into to help you if you're navigating this alone. Mm-hmm. But they also have call to action. So if you're interested, it's so easy. All you have to do for, if it's a call to action, let's say for your Senate, they write the letter. The letters are already, you just type in your name. If you want to type in a little bit of your personal story, you can, but they just need the letters to be sent out to show. And the one that I sent was actually a thanking them for passing a bill that they had passed. So yeah, I go on there periodically just to see like what's needed.
And I love that.
Yeah. And then recently for Advocacy Day, I'm now in Tennessee, which is a lot different than California. And there was a lot of scary things that were possibly going to happen with IVF, where they were trying to put parameters on, you know, when does life start and an embryo and how many embryos can one make when you're doing IVF? And we've been working hard to just protect it and let people that want to have babies.
Yes.
This is what we're doing it for.
Okay, guys, I'm going to keep this outro short and sweet since the intro was a little long, but I just want to thank everybody again for listening, for being a part of the show, for supporting the show, for supporting the rally, for being a part of the rally, for supporting the work of Art Books. And I also want to thank my friend who I got to hang out with in Nashville recently. She's so wonderful and loving and so much fun. My friend Camille Guadi. Thanks, Camille, for being a part of this episode. And again, thank you all for listening. Love you guys.